When television became commercially available in the 1920s, some predicted the end of radio. Well, here we are, almost a century later, still going strong. Some people have referred lately to the popularity of public radio and podcasts as a new golden age for the medium. Today, though, we might think of radio as a secondary source of info behind the internet or maybe television. In less industrial developed parts of the world, though, radio can be a vital source of information, in some places, the main source. Global health reporter Sarika Bansal joins us now to share how this works in Africa. Her piece, In Tanzania, Farmers Reap the Benefits of Radio, appeared in the New York Times blog called Opinionator. She's here with us now. Sarika, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So you wrote about Africa, but in particular, you visited Tanzania. Can you talk about the kind of communities that you visited that rely so strongly on radio? Apart from radio, how connected are they to the rest of their country and the world?
So Tanzania is 75% of the population is rural, so they're not nearly as connected as populations in the United States, for example. And roads, and especially good roads, are pretty hard to come by. Electricity is also pretty scarce, so I learned that radio, and especially wind-up radio, is a pretty good way of reaching people.
And I keep seeing things about a mobile boom across the continent of Africa, with mobile phones in particular, but that hasn't reached the areas you're talking about as strongly as elsewhere, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a growth, but it's still growing off of a pretty low base. And I think about 40% of Tanzania is still not entirely on the mobile grid. So you have, I mean, I was in a lot of places with either very poor or no mobile connectivity at all. So farmers, I mean, the way they would get information from each other, and they're mostly farmers we're talking about, the way they would get information was either face-to-face with people or from the radio.
So let's talk about the radio. Why does that work so well for people in these isolated environments?
Sure. So I think one reason it works so well is because it's available. About 90% of farmers in Tanzania have access and pretty good access to the radio. And I think another reason it works well is because a lot of people told me about how Tanzania in particular, and I think this is true with a lot of sub-Saharan African countries, has a very rich storytelling culture. So people are used to hearing other people's stories and telling their own, sharing their own thoughts. So I think it just fits very well with how people communicate anyway.
Let's get into how they're using the radio. A lot of what you talk about is farming education. We'd call it extension here in Wisconsin. What kind of things are people learning about agriculture through their radios?
That's right. And I think a lot of people actually use the same phrase in Tanzania, so it was potentially borrowed from Wisconsin. Who knows? So one of the things that people use the radio for are like very basic crop price information and just understanding, you know, weather patterns and whatnot. But beyond that, a lot of people are using radio to understand, to learn about new techniques in farming, new innovations that they can use in terms of planting, the different modes of planting tomatoes that they may not have known about before, new crops that they could use. I listened to a show on kitchen farming, so what kind of plants and whatnot could you farm right near your home? So it was a variety of things.
And do people have their own wind-up radios, or do they all gather together during showtime to listen?
It was a mix of both that I saw. So some families, especially those that were a bit better off, had their own radios. And people use radio not just for getting information, but also for listening to music. And there are a lot of Christian radio stations, for example. So, you know, instead of going to church, they can just listen right at home. And a lot of other people I saw did gather around and listen. And actually, there's this group that I profiled in my piece called Farm Radio International, and they supported what they call listening groups. And about 20 or so farmers, they would get together, and they would listen to the broadcast on farming together and then just talk about what they heard and how they could apply that in their own lives.
And that group, radio is appealing to them, I gather, because it's cheap as an outreach method. It's available, and not everyone they're targeting is necessarily literate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the handing out pamphlets to people, unless they have a lot of pictures on them, isn't really necessarily the best way to reach people. They found that, exactly as you said, that audio sticks with people a lot more. And specifically with the listening group, they found that getting people to be able to talk about these different innovations after hearing about them and potentially using some of them in their own lives, that's a really good way of getting people to experiment and do things that are maybe outside their comfort zone otherwise.
And meeting with farmers, what kind of changes did you see them making based on what they'd heard over the radio and then maybe talked about with their listening group afterward?
So one change that I saw was just in a couple of new crops that were growing. People were growing different types of greens that they weren't otherwise, and different types of herbs. There's one farmer who was using some different organic methods to, instead of using regular pesticides, where he was instead using some organic pesticides. So, and those were all changes that they attributed to what they heard on the radio.
Can you introduce us to the personalities, my alter egos on these Tanzanian radio stations? What kind of people are running the broadcasts there?
You know, they're people with pretty similar, I was surprised at how similar they were to people who I've met in the U.S. who work on the radio. I mean, they're people who just care about storytelling. A lot of these stations that I visited were very community-based. So there is one radio jockey named Clara Moita in particular, and she had been working on this radio station for about 4 years and knew pretty much everyone and all of the farmers in her community. So when she was speaking about farming on the radio, she was able to point to specific people as examples.
And do they do, now I know not everyone has phones available, but there is some mobile penetration there. Do they have, and this is another one close to my heart, call-in shows?
Yes. And that's another thing that, and there's been a little bit of research on this, but people have found that to be really useful, that, you know, not just, we think of radio often as just a one-way communication tool, that it's just, you know, something that's being told on the radio is going out to listeners and the listeners can do what they want. But they found that, you know, that by introducing this element of interactivity, whether it's by call-in shows, some of them had also introduced SMSing. So basically, people can text in answers to quizzes if they, again, have access to mobile technology. So they had done that, and it seemed like that really enhanced people's learning. And for people who don't have mobile phones, some of them who had the wind up radio, they had specific types of wind up radio that they were selling around different communities that recorded voice, and someone could come around and pick up the radio and specifically pick up the tape in which that voice was recorded, and part of the farmer's conversation could appear on the air a few days later.
Oh, no kidding. So if I'm the farmer, I can be listening along in my wind-up. When the show's over, I switch over to record and recount my experience or maybe my question or something like that, and then listen in a couple days later, and I'll show up there.
Yeah, that's exactly right, which I think is a really cool way of getting farmers' voices heard. That was another thing that people kept telling me, that, you know, farmers don't want to hear from, you know, some expert sitting in an academic chair millions of miles away. Farmers want to hear from other farmers. Like, that's who they really, really trust. So if another farmer is telling them, like, hey, I tried this new technique for planting cucumbers, and my bushes this season are, you know, 1.5 times the size they were last season, there's a higher chance that others will, you know, actually think of doing it themselves.
So it's social networking via radio in a way.
Yeah, it's like Facebook for farmers.
Great. Well, you went to Tanzania, but that's not the only place this is going on. How widespread are these radio programs now?
These radio programs are very widespread across Africa. So this group that I talk about in my piece, Farm Radio International, they run 38 radio stations that are this intensive, as I just described, across 7 countries. But they also provide radio content to almost 500 stations around the continent, to almost every country in Africa.
And are you going to go back, do you think, and check out some of the other programs around the continent?
I would love to, yeah. I think that just the idea of farmers getting information in a pretty, I mean, it seems like a low-tech way, but it's, you know, very sophisticated thinking that goes behind it. I think that that's incredibly exciting.
Interesting. Sarika, thank you so much for joining us today. Very, very interesting reporting on that.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Sarika Bansal, global health reporter. Her article is called In Tanzania, Farmers Reap the Benefits of Radio. It appeared on the New York Times online blog, Opinionator. Well, I'd like you to share something maybe you've learned on the radio, ideally here on Wisconsin Public Radio or maybe somewhere else. You can email us now at talk@WPR.org or head over to the Central Time Facebook page. We're Central Time on WPR or Twitter. Always looking for more people to communicate with us via Twitter. We are Central Time WPR there. The question, what is something you've learned from Wisconsin Public Radio or elsewhere on the radio? Look forward to hearing what you have to say there.